It's time for our scripture reading. I wonder if you would please take your New International Version or one of the Pew Bibles and open up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. We're going to begin our reading at verse 11 and read through verse 26. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 705. Matthew continues in his account of the events leading to the crucifixion of Jesus, and he says this. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. And they all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word today. We don't have to know the details of everything in order to have an impact. God knows absolutely everything that there is. And so if we ever have an unspoken request, that's perfectly all right with God. Because he knows what's taking place. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. We're at the third message in this series, this particular series on the characters of Easter. And today, I would like us to look at this guy named Pilate. You know, the thing that I have been struck about so far in my studies and in trying to make the presentation of the word here is that in some fashion, we all see ourselves a little bit at least in every one of these characters. We don't like to think that we're there, but sometimes we are. And so it's important for us to look at these things more than just accounts. It's important for us to look at these various individuals and say, "God, where am I? Am I being represented here? And if so, How do I move beyond that? Or God, am I being referenced here? And if so, how do I thank you for letting me be a part of your kingdom? This particular guy that we're going to look at, I did some research on him, and I want to read you a little thing, and then we're going to get into the message. But I want to read you a little bit about Pilate. This particular writing comes out of a book that is published by Revel Books, or Revel Books, however you want to pronounce it. Excuse me. And it's called Everyone in the Bible is the name of the book. Excuse me again. And this particular writer did a lot of research and on various individuals, from the very obscure in the Bible to those who are the main figures, main characters. And he came across this information and he presented it in just a couple of little paragraphs about the guy named Pilate. He writes this. He says, a hard-boiled army man, Pontius Pilate was the inept fifth Roman procurator of the province of Judea. He was a bad selection for such an explosive area and immediately showed an insensitivity that brought the province to the brink of revolt. Moving his army headquarters to Jerusalem, Pilate offended everyone by needlessly insisting upon bringing the hated and blasphemous Roman eagles and standards into the area overlooking the temple. A violent 5-day demonstration erupted. In the end, Pilate was forced to remove the emblems. Next came the episode of the water mains. Pilate decided to raid the temple treasury to improve the Jerusalem water system. This time, when the mob gathered in protest, Pilate turned his soldiers loose and massacred many. Third came the episode of the shields, which Pilate had hung in Herod's palace. This time, the emperor himself forced Pilate to back down. His vacillation before the authorities and the crowd during Jesus' trial shows him as an impatient, unsympathetic opportunist. Part of the irony of the crucifixion was the fact that a representative of the best government in the ancient world had such a key role. Pilate was removed from office in 36 AD by the Emperor Vitellius after Pilate senselessly wiped out an entire village of Samaritans. His end is the subject of many stories. Some say that he was beheaded by Nero. Others that he committed suicide. Still others that he was banished to Vienna. His body was said to have been dumped in Lake Pilatus in Switzerland. Only the Abyssinian church has made a saint out of Pilate, and this on the flimsy evidence of a tradition that before his death, he prayed to Jesus for forgiveness. You know, when you look at the decisions of this particular individual and the cruelty with which he ruled, you realize that even having him in that particular spot at that particular moment, as inept as he was, he would, of course, be the one who, having opportunity to let Jesus go free, determined to listen to the voice of the crowd. Is Pilate much different than you and I? What do we listen to? Do we listen to the voice of the crowd? Or do we stand for the integrity and the honor of God? When it comes to the social issues of this modern day world, where do we stand? Unfortunately, in too many situations, the church is too silent. There are those who stand within the church squarely in favor of the devastation of abortion. I wonder if God's pleased. There are those in the modern day church that stand for gay rights and the destruction of marriage, traditional marriage values. I wonder if God is pleased. There are those who cry out against any type of honorable symbol being placed above headstones, where they want to have the crosses removed. I wonder if God is pleased. And I think we need to ask ourselves, do we listen to the voice of the crowd? Or do we listen to the voice of God? What is the most important? Out of this particular passage of Scripture that we read, I want to share with you six things. I want to share with you, first of all, the Inquisition. Secondly, the insight. Third, the imploring. Fourth, the insurrectionists. Fifth, the indignant. And then sixth, the innocent. And so let's begin to look at this as this inept leader is the one who is going to be making the decision regarding Jesus. I want us to look at this, first of all, the Inquisition. Look at verses 11 through 14. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge, so that the governor was quite amazed. You see, what is taking place as this illegal trial is going on. Remember, we'd talked about that. We talked about the illegality of this particular trial. And as we were looking at that, we realized that Jesus stood before his accusers with no representation, making it illegal. Still, he goes to the second aspect of this trial, and there is no representation. Still illegal. And this inquisition goes on as Pilate sits on his throne, if you will. As he sits there, he hears the voice of the people. The people in this particular case happen to be those who are chief priests and elders. And they're throwing around these wild accusations about Jesus that are untrue. And Pilate knows down deep in his heart, this is wrong. And you see, that's reflected a little later because Pilate comes to the conclusion that these people have brought him before me because they're jealous. And that's what it's all about. Are you ever jealous? Do you allow jealousy to taint your thinking? Do you listen to the voices of those who may have an axe to grind with someone? Do you listen to the voices of accusation without the presentation of the facts or the truth? Do you make your judgments based upon feeling and not facts? Pilate did. Even though he was absolutely amazed at this one who stood before him, he was amazed at the fact that he didn't respond to the charges brought against him. He just stood there. Like a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth, is what the book of Psalms tells us. Jesus just stood there. And here's Pilate, who is seated on his throne of judgment, and as he is looking at him, he's saying, "Man, don't you hear what they're saying? Don't you want to respond to that?" And Jesus just stands there. And Pilate is amazed. In spite of the fact that Pilate, down deep inside, knows that this whole thing is a kangaroo court. In spite of that, this one who had the authority to put down his gavel and say, "This is it, I've heard enough, get out of here, there is nothing valid in what you declare, I release him, I set him free." In spite of that, Pilate made the declaration to crucify him. In spite of the fact that any of these accusations he could tell and he could read did not fit the character of the one who stood before him, he passed the judgment. Ordered him beaten and sent to the cross. The one who had the authority to say, "Stop wasting my time." Even though he was amazed, allowed things to continue. Secondly, I want you to notice the insight. It comes out in verses 15 through 18. "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the multitude any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they were holding at that time a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?'" Now catch this. "For he knew that because of envy, they had delivered him up." He knew that these who brought Jesus before him were doing that out of jealousy. He knew that this was false. He knew. And remember, this is the guy who sits on the throne of judgment. Did he question, "Where's his counsel?" No, he never questioned that. Did he question, "Where are his supporters?" No, he never questioned that. He looked at the two men. You've got a notorious criminal in Barabbas that everyone knows is guilty as guilt can possibly be, and you've got the innocent Lamb of God, you have got the innocent man of God who stands there and refuses to fight, refuses to argue back, refuses to accept a way of escape, has no representation, has to speak for himself, which he refuses to do, and Pilate stays focused on the purpose of the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders. Folks, whenever someone takes on leadership, they need to honor the principles of leadership. Pilate refused. Well, you know, Pastor, he was kind of forced into this type of a decision. This was kind of a thing that was, he didn't ask for this trial, and he just kind of had to decide things. But you see, when placed in that position, and if you do a little bit of study on being a governor in any of the regions at that time, you will find that just as we today swear in judges, swear in justices, have them make vows to protect the law, to honor the law, to follow through with the law, just as in our day, in their day, it was the same way. And Pilate refused to honor the vows that he had made. Do we ever dishonor our vows? Happens in half the marriages. Do we ever dishonor the vows? Happens quite often with creditors. Do we ever dishonor the vows? Far too often. Pilate dishonored his vows of leadership. And a man's life hung in the balance. Even though he was insightful, which should have been all the more reason to say, look, I read your hearts, I read your intentions, I know that it's out of jealousy. I know that it's out of envy that you have brought him here. Get him out of here where there would have been no repercussions on him, because he would have been doing the right thing. In spite of all of that, he allowed things to continue. And as if that wasn't enough, notice number 3, the imploring. We find it in verse 19. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man. For last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. Pilate's like a lot of guys, isn't he? Not going to listen to his wife. But she comes and she says, look, this guy's innocent. I know it. Pilate has really, in his heart, he has acknowledged it in the recognition that this is all jealousy. And so he's getting that next voice coming to him and saying, look, it's just not right. This just isn't right. This guy is innocent. Don't have anything to do with this. And Pilate refuses to listen. Have we ever been there? We know what's right, but we refuse. The voices of others come, and we refuse. Because we're going to stick to what our desire is. And it may not be right. She is pleading with him. She is begging him. Don't have anything to do with that righteous man. Send this trial away. Get rid of it. I want you to notice, fourth, I want you to notice the insurrectionists. Verses 20 and 21. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Now, it's an interesting thing, because the very people who less than a week before had been lining the streets of Jerusalem, laying down their palm branches and were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna, praise be to God for this one who has entered into our very midst, Hosanna, Hosanna," are now changing their voices to cry out, "Crucify, crucify, crucify, get rid of this guy." What could have changed in a few short hours to go from Hosanna to crucify? How about you? What does it take to change your mind and your heart? When you know down deep inside, it's not right. It's not right. These insurrectionists cry out for the crucifixion of Jesus. Number five. I want you to notice the indignant, verses 22 and 23. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Verse 20-24. And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." The indignant. Couple of commentaries that I read made reference to this very moment in Pilate's final days. As the writer of this book had said, some say that he had committed suicide, that he had kind of gone crazy after this. A couple of them that I read said that this is what Pilate did after this particular event. They said that Pilate would go around wringing his hands constantly like he was washing them and saying, his blood, I can't get rid of it. I can't get rid of it. His blood, it continues. Someone help me wash off this blood from my hands. What do I do? What do I do? Said he became a madman because he could not wash the blood of an innocent man off his hands. What do I do? You want to know something? When we betray Christ, we have his blood on our hands. It's too high a price to pay, folks. There's too much at stake. We'll never wash it off except through repentance, seeking his forgiveness. Be careful that you don't betray the Christ. Pilate, even at this moment, had the opportunity to release him without question. But he chose the coward's way out. You see to it. Your problem, you deal with it. Notice verse 25. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Wow. Parents, what do you think? Are you willing to place the punishment that you should receive on your children? Hosanna! Hosanna! Glory to the King! Praise be to Jesus! Hosanna! Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be on us and on our children. What a horrible, horrible declaration. But that's what a mob mentality will do. Be careful that you don't wind up with Jesus' blood on your hands. I want you to notice the innocent. All the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, beaten, if you will, he delivered him to be crucified. He delivered him to be crucified. Jesus, I'm amazed you aren't responding to this. I know that what they have done out of envy and out of jealousy. But I'm going to have you beaten. And then I'm going to have you planted on a hilltop between two thieves. I should just let you go, because I don't believe any of this. But you see, there's a riot starting. And when a riot starts, that doesn't look good for my leadership. And so rather than do what's right, I choose to do what's wrong. I'm going to be innocent of your blood. I'm going to order you to be beaten. I'm going to order you to be crucified. But it's not my fault. It's all these people. Even in this moment, Pilate couldn't do what was right. The governor, a hard-boiled army man, inept fifth Roman procurator of the province of Judea. He was a bad selection for such an explosive area and immediately showed an insensitivity that brought the province to the brink of revolt. A bad, bad leader. Are you a leader of people? Are you a good leader? If not, you're a pilot. Are you a faithful follower of Jesus? Or do you bow to the will of others? Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time if you would please take your hymnals. Open up to number 368, All for Jesus. And I have to ask you today, are you all for Jesus? Are you fully surrendered to His will? Or in spite of what you know to be true, do you choose to go a different direction? Today would be the perfect day to get your life lined up with Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Give it over to Him. Let Him have control. Find the joy of life, the peace of forgiveness, and the power of grace resting upon you. So if God is speaking to you and you need to have Jesus as your personal Savior, you step out and come. Don't wait for anybody else. You just come. We would be thrilled to be able to introduce you to Jesus today. So let's sing number 368. And if God is speaking to you, those of you who are taking the altar counseling class, I want you to be ready. If anyone responds here today, I want you to be able to pray with them. Let's sing number 368. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your love for us and for Your great grace. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, for the fact that You don't hold anything back in Your Word, but instead You show exactly what's there. Now, Father, I pray that each and every one of us would find ourselves like John at the foot of Your cross and not like those who were in the crowd. Jesus, help us to follow You, to honor You, so that we can be blessed by You and that we can look forward to being in Your kingdom. Now watch over us the rest of this day, and we'll give You thanks and praise, for it's in the glorious and the holy and the righteous name of Jesus that we pray and ask all of these things. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.